Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Bethany on this, again, dreary, rainy Sunday morning. This is the third Sunday out of the month of October that we have had rain. It's quite amazing. But we still gather here in the warmth and fellowship of one another to worship. My name's Pastor Jared, and I'm glad that you are with us today. Want to draw your attention to a few announcements that we have going on today. Don't forget that your sub and pretzel sandwich orders can be picked up this Thursday from 10:30 to 11:30 downstairs in the fellowship hall if you ordered those. A big thank you to all those who donated candy and water for trick-or-treat night. We have plenty of candy, which is always good, and water to share with the community as we meet them this week. So thank you for that. And trick-or-treating is this Thursday night, 6 to 8 p.m. So if you're out and about, some of us will be out and about here on the corner as well, handing out candy and water. Don't forget that Saturday, this coming Saturday, November 2nd, is our annual holiday bazaar. If you signed up to bring cookies, or if you haven't signed up to bring cookies yet, and you need to go over and sign up and bring cookies, or if you're like, I'm not a cookie person, we will take any baked good that you can make, that you are skilled in, or unskilled, it doesn't really matter, in, as long as it looks good, right? Because people won't taste it right there. Just kidding. Please sign up to bring those if you haven't already. We want them for our bazaar to sell. Proceeds are going towards recent church projects, including the carillon, which the pieces were all delivered yesterday. So there's some boxes back there with electronics in them. We'll be working on an install date for those. But if you are bringing those cookies, you can bring them Friday from 6 to 8, or baked goods from 6 to 8 p.m. on Friday. People will be here setting up their stands and booths and everything for that, for the other pieces of the bazaar. So please bring those cookies, drop them off, so that we have them for the sale on Saturday then. Also, November, December upper rooms are available, and I believe the new November newsletter is available. So if you haven't gotten one of those already, please grab those on your way out today. Also, there's a budget committee meeting tomorrow night, 6:30, somewhere in the church building. It'll depend on what else is going on at the time, but either downstairs or upstairs here. So if that applies to you, please join us for that. I think that is it for the announcements this morning. Anybody gonna say that I forgot something? Because people were telling me things, and I'm like, please remind me, because I will forget them. So nobody's yelling, so I think we're good. As we begin our worship this morning, as I always do, I will invite us to a moment of silence. I don't know what your week was like. I don't know what your week ahead looks like, but I'm sure there are busy moments, highs and lows, and things that can easily pull our attention in many different directions as we begin our worship here this morning. And so I invite us to settle, to take a deep breath, and to prepare our hearts and our minds for worship today. So let us start in a moment of silence. Would you please join me in the call to worship that is printed in your bulletin or on the screen behind me, and please stand for that. Praise is due to you, O God. You answer prayers, and to you all flesh should come. When our sins overwhelm us, you forgive our transgressions. We will be satisfied with the goodness of your house, with your holy temple. By awesome deeds, you answer us with deliverance, O God of our salvation. You are the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas. You visit the earth and water it. The river of God is full of water. You provide for the people. The pastures of the wilderness overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy. The meadows and the valleys shout and sing together for joy. We join with them, praising you, O God of our salvation. Let us join together in singing number 272, All Creatures of Our God and King, 272. Please be seated. So, you guys can come up. The choir will be singing. What's the title of the song? There were 12 disciples. They're going to sing it through twice, and on the second time through, if you know it, join in. Okay, hang tight, guys. I just want to pray for you guys real quick, and then we'll dismiss from there. So let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for these kids and their gifts and their talents, those that have been at practice, who couldn't be here with us today, and just the energy and excitement that they bring, and their willingness to stand up here and share their gifts with this congregation and in worship for you, Lord. I pray your blessing upon them as they go throughout their days, as they go to school, as they have activities. Lord, just keep them safe and help us as a congregation to raise them as followers of you, that we are indeed your disciples too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, thank you guys. You have a seat. Now is the time in our service where we go before the Lord with our joys and our concerns. Please make note of those prayer items listed in the back of the bulletin here at the top and be in prayer for those throughout the week. Also, if you have a prayer request or a joy that you would like to share with us this morning, please fill out one of these cards in the pew racks and you can pass those or put those in the offering plate when that is passed and those items will be held in prayer this week. So let us go before the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we again approach your throne in thanksgiving, in praise, and in joy for the ways in which you created us and sustain us each and every day. As we look out among your creation, from the colorful leaves to the rain to the animals to all that you have made, Lord, we join in the unending song of praise to you, our Savior, our God, our Creator. And Lord, as our Creator, we know that you care for us, that you are here to listen to our prayers, Lord, and that you work for the good of your servants. We might not always understand it, we might not always get what we want, but Lord, we trust that you care for us that you are walking beside us. And so, Lord, we lift up to you those in need of healing. We rejoice in those who are healed, but, Lord, we continue to pray for those undergoing medical care, those feeling sick, those in need of your healing touch, Lord. May we be as friends and family, as a body of Christ, may we pray, may we surround, and may we show love and care to those in need. Lord, we pray for those seeking wisdom and discernment. We pray for those looking for you. They may not know it, but Lord, help them to find you. Help us be light and salt to point to you. I pray for this church, for all of us gathered here as we seek each day to indeed be your hands and feet. Open our eyes, our hearts to opportunities to share, to proclaim what you have done in our lives, but what you have done for the world. And Lord, we just lift up to you places around the world still suffering. Think of Syria, we think of other places full of death and destruction and famine, Lord. And we long for the day when all will be made right, when your kingdom will fully come here on earth as it is in heaven. Help us to work towards that, to envision that, to catch your dream and hope for the future. So, Lord, we pray all these things in the name of the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us continue in worship this morning by the giving of our tithes and offerings. Dear Lord, we rejoice in these gifts and offerings, in the blessings that you have poured out to us that we may give, that you may take and multiply this and use this for your kingdom here and around the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's continue in worship through song this morning by singing number 381, It Is Well With My Soul, 381. Please be seated. scripture this morning comes from the prophet Joel, chapter 2, verses 23 through 32. And that can be found on page 848 of the Bibles in your hymnal pew racks there. Again, Joel chapter 2, verses 23 through 32, and page 848. O children of Zion, be glad and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you abundant rain, the early and the later rain as before. The threshing floor shall be full of grain. The vats shall overflow with wine and oil. I will repay you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army, which I sent against you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never again be put to shame. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I, the Lord, am your God, and there is no other. And my people shall never again be put to shame. Then afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female slaves, in those days I will pour out my spirit. I will show potence in the heavens and on earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and Jerusalem there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said, and among the survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls. I think we all know that life is full of twists and turns, ups and downs, highs and lows, mountains and valleys. There are moments when everything seems to be going our way, and there are moments, seasons, where nothing seems to line up. And it often seems that those negative seasons are the ones that can seemingly last forever. That things pile up one on top of the other, and nothing we try, nothing we want, nothing seems to go as we would hope. And it's in those seasons, I think, that it's most easy or understandable to only see the bad, to focus on the impossible, on the things we cannot do, on all the things going wrong. And maybe sometimes these things that stack up one on top of the other are simple things, easy things, you know, but compounded, they feel like the weight of the world. Maybe they are major life transitions, major moments of fear and uncertainty within our lives or within the lives of our families. My boss recently, we've been doing staff meetings and we shared a devotional talking about the mountains that each of us may face. And you know, on a daily basis, the things that I worry about are we don't have enough clothing to send out to the stores. I'm looking for another truck driver, so I can't get to all the drop boxes that have clothing in them. And so we're behind, and and churches are calling or places that are calling to have our drop boxes, and we're trying to get caught up, and then somebody calls off and somebody's sick and this person doesn't show up for work and this person quits, and these things can compound, and they're relatively minor. And in the face of these conversations and of these daily whatever, I have staff members and equals, you know, and people in our organization, coworkers, who receive cancer diagnoses, who seem to have, who lose family members, who have things that seem far more disastrous than somebody not showing up for work, or not having the right amount of staff. And I can easily, and they could easily, get to the point where they think that nothing will go right, that all is lost. And I don't think anybody would really blame them for that. But they don't. Their attitudes, their vision amazes me. And I wish at some level that I could have that same positive outlook in the midst of rather mundane molehills to deal with. And I think the prophet Joel that we read this morning is speaking into a context that has experienced an unfathomable disaster, one that we cannot really relate to. And you would be forgiven if you've never opened up the book of Joel, the prophet Joel, before. And you would be forgiven if you, like I, had to look in the index to try to remember Joel is in context of Scripture. It's not a big prophet. It's just a few chapters. Chapter 2 is it, basically. And we probably think of Joel, at least partially this passage of Joel, when we come to Pentecost. If you look to the book of Acts, these words that we've heard read this morning are spoken from Peter's mouth on the day of Pentecost. We also see Joel on occasion on Ash Wednesday, talking about repentance in an earlier chapter. But the prophet Joel is speaking into a context, into a people who are suffering famine like they have never suffered before. And the text, our text portion of it, hints to it today that it is locusts that have swarmed the land for several years, destroying crop after crop, season after season. They have lost hope. They have lost the ability to feed themselves. They are in the most dire and desperate situations. I mean, we fully cannot understand this in some way because this is not a problem that we typically face. We have not had to deal with famine and hunger. We who want for very little, who can turn out and go and find, you know, all sorts of restaurants, who throw out tons of food each year, we would not know what it would be like to be on the verge of extinction because of crop destruction. And so maybe in some ways what the prophet Joel is speaking to his people or to God's people about would seem foreign and hard to understand. But all of us, I think, can understand when something comes that just utterly destroys the fabric of our lives, throws us for a loop, turns us upside down, challenges our very being, challenges our notions of God and what God and who God is. The pain that can cause, the uncertainty, the doubt, I mean, to put ourselves in the Israelite shoes, to be sitting there and not knowing and having no hope or no expectation that there will be food on the table. Maybe some of us, and there are some in our community, who do deal with this reality, who do experience this. And maybe this helps us put ourselves in their shoes a bit. Or maybe, like I said, there are other life situations, other things of our own pain, our own despair, where we immediately go to and we think, what lies ahead? What is our hope? What is God doing? And it's in this context, it's in this setting of just uncertainty and worry that God speaks, that Joel speaks to the people and says, guess what? Guess what will happen? Guess what God is going to do for you? God is going to fill your threshing floors again. God is going to bring rain. God is going to bring plenty. God is going to restore your fortunes. You will eat and you will have leftover. You will have more than you know what to do with. In this season of destruction, you have suffered, yes, but guess what? God has not abandoned you. God has not left you. God has not deserted you. God will bring back what you had. God will satisfy you, and you will know that God is God, that you will know that God cares for you and loves you and has made a way for each of you. You will know what God is about, and yes, it seemed that God has been far, that God has been distant. And yes, as the people thought about this, there was some repentance that needed to happen, and maybe in our own lives there are things when we get into situations, when we get into situations of despair, not all things are because of us, but or because of our sin, but there are probably things that have been of our own making where we need to pause and reflect. And there are some things that are out of our control. And we still have to hear these words from the prophet Joel that God will restore their fortunes, that God will bring hope, that God will do what seems to be impossible. Joel says then in the last days that God will bring visions and dreams. That God will bring his spirit and pour it out on his people. And this is why we see Peter quote this on the day of Pentecost, that here is evidence of God doing this, of God working just as God said he would in the prophet Joel. I always wondered what those visions, what those dreams are about. Are they about the coming end? Maybe. But I also wonder if they're not about exactly what Joel is talking about. If they're not about a return to plenty and a return to what God can provide and do, if the visions and dreams that the Spirit of the Lord are providing are not something pointing us to the possibility in the midst of pain and despair. The visions and dreams that the Spirit brings are things that turn our attention maybe away from some of our own suffering, maybe our own uncertainties, and into what God has made possible. We pray this, and I've said this multiple times, and I keep saying it again, because for me, it is one of the most transformational vision things in the world, that we pray each and every Sunday that your will be done, God, on earth as it is in heaven. And maybe the visions that Joel is talking about are those type of visions where we see what God has designed and desires for each of us, what God has designed and desired for this church, for this community, and we start to catch something and we say, okay, God, let's do this. Let's step out into faith in this. And it's hard because in the moment it seems like, no, this isn't possible. This isn't what you can do, Lord. We've been in famine and darkness and pain and suffering for so many years that we cannot step beyond it, that we cannot see the hope and transformation that God will bring. And that's why God sends His Spirit to bring visions, to bring dreams, to bring things that point to a future, a possibility, hope, transformation. This is what the Spirit is moving and working and doing. And this is what Joel reminds the people. That yes, they have suffered. That yes, the suffering is real. It can't be skipped over. It is part of life. But it is not the final word. It is not the end of the story. And that God is moving and working to do something new. To restore, to rebuild, to bring hope to a people full of despair. Our viewpoints in life can often be small, confined to the moments, to the steps right in front of us. Joel is pointing the people to a 30,000-foot view, a more encompassing view, a view that says, this is not all about the moment here, the pain here. But Joel deals with those realities, acknowledges them, doesn't brush over them, but calls the people to remember what God is pointing forward to. And I think that same thing is true for us this morning as a church, as individuals, that we hear and embrace the Spirit who will give us dreams and visions, who will call us to speak forth a world of possibility. With so much pain and suffering, with so much destruction, with so much hatred filling our world, we are called to be those who dream and have visions for something possible beyond this. And that work begins in our lives, that work begins in each of our steps, but that work begins in the church, that work begins in our communities, that work begins as we move out. And is not just a future state, but is a reality that is breaking now. Let us not lose sight of those visions. Let us not think that God has moved on. Let us not think that we do not have something to do. Because Joel makes the point that it's not just young people, or it's not just certain sort of people, it is everybody. It is all encompassing. It is free and slave. It is men and women. It is young and old who are called into what God is doing and what God is moving to build, to change, and to transform. Let us be open to the Spirit moving in our lives and giving us vision for the future. Amen. Our final song this morning, I hope, is our prayer of this, that we hope and expect the Spirit of the living God to descend on us, to move in our midst, to speak into our lives, and to transform us. And so please join me by singing as a closing hymn, number 361. I invite you to stand, singing together 361, Spirit of the Living God. We go into this week, may that be our prayer each and every day, that we are filled with the Spirit, empowered to go forth in the love of God. Go in peace.